Hello and welcome to the Risk Map Podcast, our look ahead at the coming few weeks in the global business landscape, brought to you by Control Risks, the global political integrity and security consultancy. I'm Michael Moran, Managing Director for Global Risk Analysis in New York.
And I'm Jean Devlin, London-based Director of Risk Analysis for Sub-Saharan Africa. Welcome to the podcast.
In this edition, we look at the endgame in the decades-old civil war that may be coming to an end in Colombia. We check in on elections in the Republic of Congo, also known as Congo-Brazzaville, where President Denis Sassou Nguesso, in power for 32 of the past 37 years, appears ready for another term.
But first, let's talk about Barack Obama's historic visit to Cuba, which takes place on Monday, the 21st of March. Mike, you handle our U.S. analysis, and I understand you've been covering Cuban-American relations for decades. So how big a deal is this trip?
In the symbolic sense, it's very important. Practically speaking, of course, Obama's a lame duck president, and the embargo that has been in place between the U.S. and Cuba for decades will survive his administration. Congress is not going to lift that embargo anytime soon. Those opposed to the visit, though, say that Obama's wrong to do it. It's merely rewarding a dictatorial Cuban regime. And indeed, Havana has made very little effort to hide a crackdown on dissent that has been happening right before the visit.
What does it actually mean for doing business in Cuba?
Well, European countries and indeed most of the world and Canada as well have been doing business in Cuba for quite some time. And yet, for decades since Cuba has welcomed foreign business, it's been a pretty underwhelming effect on Cuba's economy. The fact is, there's enormous red tape, scope for government interference. It's a very opaque environment and relatively small returns. On top of that, in some places, particularly in the U.S., as things are opening up a little bit, there's a pretty significant reputational risk as well, as U.S. companies are beginning to look at what it would take to make a deal, whether it be big hotel chains or airlines or the food industry. They're certainly looking very hard to find ways to do this, and the Obama administration has opened certain ways in for U.S. firms, but there are still many concerns, and until the embargo is actually lifted by Congress, the fact remains that Cuba is going to be a very difficult place to make money easily.
Interesting. Thanks, Mike. Moving on now to Africa, and specifically the Republic of Congo, not to be confused with its larger eastern neighbor, the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. So Congo-Brazzaville is holding elections on the 20th of March, this coming Sunday. And Control Risk believes that President Denis Sassou Nguesso will prevail in the first ballot against what is a very much divided opposition. So I have with me here one of our Francophone Africa analysts, Valentin Robillard. Val, why this air of inevitability about the election?
Well, first, we have a president who's very much in control of the electoral process. I think the main idea is to look at the two institutions organizing the elections, namely the interim ministry and the electoral commission, both of which are dominated by some of Sassou's closest ally. Second, Sassou has a strong electoral machinery behind him, be it from his party, his patronage networks, or his access to the media. Third, he remains relatively popular across the country. And finally, the opposition remains weak and divided.
So should we expect violence around the polls?
We do expect protests, with some of them turning violent, especially in the southern opposition strongholds, the capital Brazzaville and the city of Pointe Noire. We don't expect these protests, however, to escalate and threaten national stability, given broad apathy with Sassou's rule, limited opposition resources, and a general fear of security force crackdowns.
Thank you, Val. That's Valentin Robillard, one of our Francophone Africa analysts.
Well, the half-century-old war between the left-wing FARC guerrilla movement and Colombia's government has been subject of peace talks for the past couple of years. Those talks face a deadline, Wednesday, 23 March, for agreeing a final deal. Oliver Wack is our Bogota-based senior analyst for Colombia. So, Oliver, what prospect is there of a deal, and what happens if the talks fail?
Thanks, Mike. Well, I think the most important thing is that it doesn't look like we'll get to an agreement by the deadline that both parties set for the 23rd of March. I think that was somewhat optimistic and potentially also just a strategy by both sides to ensure continued support towards the end of last year when public support was waning somewhat. I think, however, that the talks will come to a conclusion in any case, probably a bit later than envisioned. And that will be a huge impetus also for the government to start talks with the second guerrilla group, the National Liberation Army. So we are definitely on track to finally coming to an end of the internal armed conflict, not only with the FARC, but also with the National Liberation Army. And all that will likely happen within, you know, maybe even 2016 or at the latest 2017.
On the ground, I mean, what's happening? Is there a kind of tacit ceasefire being observed, or is the violence continuing?
We've definitely seen improvements over the last couple of months. In areas where the FARC are most influential, there has essentially been a ceasefire unilaterally declared by the FARC for several months now, which has led to some of the lowest levels of violence we've seen in the Colombian internal armed conflict since the early 1960s. What we have seen at the same time, however, is an uptick in guerrilla activity in areas with the ELN influence, and that's because the ELN is positioning itself to pressure the government to the negotiating table, and they're stepping up military action as part of that strategy.
Well, Oliver Wack in Bogota, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up this edition, a few more events on the risk radar for the coming 2 weeks. Sunday, the 20th of March, sees Kazakhstan hold parliamentary elections. Authorities in the oil-dependent country brought forward these elections, which were originally scheduled for early 2017, perhaps worried about more hard economic times ahead. Then Sunday, the 27th of March, Easter Sunday, marks the 100th anniversary of the Easter Rising in Ireland, with ceremonies planned in Dublin and in other Irish cities. Localized violence around this anniversary in Northern Ireland cannot be ruled out. Following that, Thursday, the 31st of March, is the last of a series of nuclear security summits focused on the risk of nuclear terrorism, which will be held at the White House. The Nuclear Security Initiative is aimed at securing fissile materials around the world and has made some progress. This year, however, Russia has announced it will skip the meeting due to economic sanctions imposed by the West over its actions in Ukraine. Finally, the 1st of April is April Fool's Day in many countries, so don't say we didn't warn you.
Thank you, Jean. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Risk Map podcast, produced by Control Risks, the international business risk consultancy. The podcast is produced every other Friday and can be found on iTunes, Podbean, and Control Risks' own website, www.controlrisks.com. There now you can find the 2016 edition of the International Business Attitudes to Corruption Survey. But for now, in New York, this is Michael Moran saying goodbye.
And in London, I'm Jean Devlin. So long.